Welcome to the Hex Pod, an Arcane League of Legends podcast dedicated to review each and every episode every week. My name's Nick.
I'm Michelle.
We're coming off the hot rewatch of episode 9, named
The Monster You Created.
I think it should be The Monster You Created.
You created.
Out of me. Fucking scary bumps in the night. This is our last one. Well, not our last one, our last episode.
Last episode.
It's the last time we're going to say that for one more year. No, actually, well, kind of. Episode 9, season finale, act 3 finale, season finale.
Grand finale.
Grand. We had some bangs. We had some.
Booms.
We had some booms. We had some dooms. Where should we start? There's a lot to say, a lot to discuss. Buckle in, folks. There's a lot to talk about in this episode. This might be a lengthy episode. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out. Let's start off with general thoughts about the... let's get a couple things out of the way.
Okay.
First, people, one more week. It's our last podcast of the season. Get those season 2 predictions in. We're a little light. Don't make me go to Reddit to find these fucking things. Don't force my hand.
We're going straight from the source.
I want from the listeners, not from the morons from Reddit. But I will go there if I have to, and we'll discuss the stuff that people talk about on there. That might be an option. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Also, if you could, when you go to Apple iTunes, all you Apple listeners, please give us the 5-star rating to finish off the season with a bang, just like Jinx. Hit that 5 stars. And leave us a little review too. We'll read it here on the podcast if it's nice. If it's mean, I'll just tell Michelle in private.
Say the email.
ArcanePod@gmail.com.
Okay. So people want to put in their predictions and.
Predictions, season 2 predictions. Anything else I have to say about the season, about the pod, about what you think about Arcane? You know, we want to hear it. It's always fun to read these things. We have a good time. So, okay. On to the final episode. What'd you think?
I think, I don't know, I don't want to be a party pooper, but I mean, I did like it. I think I liked it a lot more the first time I saw it than the second time, but it did leave like a lot of question marks.
Why?
Obviously the first time I watched it is a little bit more shocking and surprising because I kind of already knew what was going to happen before I saw it. I mean, I did see more things the second time around that I didn't the first time around.
Yeah.
But I did feel like it left a lot more question marks than it did. It didn't answer a lot for me.
What did you want answered?
I don't know. I wasn't sure.
Davina, I don't even know what I wanted answered, but it didn't answer it.
Right.
So, no, okay. Fair enough. I don't even know if I liked it. I probably like it. I think I liked this more than the first time we watched. I really enjoyed it. I was able to really kind of hone in on what they were I kind of looked past the spectacle and was kind of really honing in what they were talking about. Really dug the stuff with Vi and her sister. That was really good. This episode, the stuff with Victor and Jace, I think is always super good. That was really good. The kind of the climax was really good. Another really solid episode, really good closure to the season. Answer some questions, leave a lot of open doors still, that I'm sure we'll be hitting into, season 2. I have my thoughts about that. Thinking this week, I was like, oh, there's a lot. I was like, I know what happens. I have a lot of stuff to say. I'm just going to let the fucking cat out of the bag and I'm going to let this roll. But then after we watched it and I started reading Reddit, it kind of killed my motivation on what I wanted to talk about.
Maybe you should stop reading Reddit.
I should.
Take a break.
Well, no, it's like they were, this is why I don't like tainting my thoughts with other people's thoughts, because then it starts interfering with my own thoughts. And I kind of get, it's like, well, fuck, how do I feel about this? And I start changing the way I feel about it, which is good sometimes, kind of bad sometimes, but I'm just kind of blabbing now. How about we just get into the episode?
I was going to say, like I said, we'll talk more about our predictions next week, but in this episode, Vander kind of makes a comeback. Bunny ears come back.
Yeah, and the singed thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was going to, yeah, I was going to talk about, I don't know if we can talk about that now or we can talk about that next week. That's kind of a big thing. There's a character he's going to be coming back as that. That's a character in the game, but we can talk about that later. Yeah, let's hop right in. What do you think?
Go for it.
Do it. One last time.
Dive on in.
Yep. All right. So we open up the episode with Jace's upset about the dead boy on the ground. Vi confronts Jace about the dead bodies and the casualties of war. Jace says he's done fighting. Vi wants to continue looking for Silco. Jace tells Vi that he wants the gloves back. Vi says he's going to have to fight him for them, and he just lets Vi keep them, and Vi closes the scene by smashing the case of Shimmer.
Bam. One fight, and he's done. One and done.
He's a one and done type of guy.
But I guess, you know.
I mean, you see.
He didn't really know what he was getting into until it happened, and
right.
Yeah, he's like, I'd rather pick peace. And, well, his form of peace, Vi obviously does not think there is a form of peace, and that's why she wants to keep fighting. She thinks if Silco's still running the game, you're never going to, you know, have the idea of what you think is going to happen, because it's always going to be violence and destruction.
Right. I think Jace's first, like his kind of his first encounter with war, he sees kind of like the worst aspect of it right out the gate, a fucking dead kid right in front of him.
Right.
And then also with Vi, yeah, I mean, I don't know if she's necessarily, well, I mean, she kind of has. She's seen, yeah, she has seen this. She's her fucking two brothers
right.
killed right in front of her. She's seen death before. She's been in kind of, she's been in fights like this before, so it's nothing new to her. And she still has reasons to go for Silco, so she doesn't want to stop. So, you know, I get from her point of view, her fucking sister's was Silco.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's not Jace's sister, so he doesn't care. You know? I mean, he has reasons for Jinx, but, yeah, I think it's, you know, I like seeing Jace. He's conflicted on what to do. Like, he's like, do we leave the body here? Do we take it? He's like, I don't even know what to do. I mean, he is just so far out of his world right now.
Right.
He has no idea what to do. And it's very clear. I mean, he's telling us that he doesn't know what to do. It's a good scene. It really just shows kind of Jace's wet behind the ears when it comes to these type of conflicts. So anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. Moving on. Silco and Savika are discussing about paying off more enforcers. Silco's a little not very happy that Marcus is dead, but he feels he can be replaced. Rennie, one of the gangsters, demands that Silco do something about her boy dying in the fight. And Rennie also starts to question about Silco's leadership and Jinx's loyalty.
I kind of thought it was a little weird that she have her son working in the Shimmer plant, but.
Well, I think all those kids were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of convenient. The one kid that died happened to be one of the gangsters' kids, but whatever, I guess.
I guess it helps the storyline.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So stop thinking too hard about it.
Yeah, it was. Well, but I guess he would. But that was the one kid that actually tried to escape when Jace came in.
Yeah,
so
maybe he was a little like eyes on the plant type thing.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah, something, but. Yeah, it's I think the thing with like Silco and Savika talking about they didn't want Marcus dying. He said like, well, we're gonna have to pay off some. He's like, I'm sure we can find more enforcers to pay off, but they did know Marcus had his uses.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, they took a long time to make him that way. Basically,
yeah, 7 years.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a. And their investment kind of went up in smoke because of Jinx, but they would have to start something new, but and Silco's dead by the end of this, so who cares?
Spoiler.
Spoiler for an episode that we're discussing. All right, what else we got about that? Rennie, one of the gangsters, I meant, you know, it's just kind of saying the quiet part out loud. Jinx is a fucking nut job on the town, and she, like, nobody knows what she's going to do.
And I don't think that's quite a secret, though.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, look at Finn. Every time he tries to question Silco about anything, like, Silco starts to put the pressure on him to shut up.
Right.
So I think, you know, people are getting kind of sick of all the shit happening with Jinx. So, and they're, yeah, so just questioning it. So, but, all right. Anyways, moving on. Victor is crying over Skye's death. He starts to read a letter from Skye. And as he wants to go ahead and destroy the Hex Core, he can't do it. And the rune just kind of zaps his leg. I don't know what it did, but.
Yeah, something he wants to try to throw a chair at it, which I don't think it will destroy it. Anyways, but mm-hmm. a nice try. But he can't find the power in him to do it. And then the thing gives him a little zap.
So what was he saying during the Skye's letter? What was the letter?
Basically, it was like a letter of her saying how proud she was of him and how she admired him and how she wanted to help in his, you know, endeavors. And I don't think she really like confessed her love to him, but just like basically like how much she admired him and wanted to be like him. And
yeah, I think she, because we're trying to question, did she admire him? Like she wanted to be like, I mean, maybe she wanted to be like a lover relationship, but I think she admired him professionally quite a bit.
Right.
So more than anything. So, and that was, Skye was his assistant, right?
Yeah, or she a general assistant? I don't know if his personal assistant, but
yeah,
I think she just probably more assisted him because she wanted to.
Yeah, I wonder. Right? Yeah, I wonder what that hex cord did to it. I don't know what it did to his leg. It just zapped it.
Well, because I mean, it's part of him now in a way.
Yeah,
because like it was all weird. Like, you know, at first it was all blue, and then it was all purple, and then it was almost kind of like red. Because, I mean, he's mixing his blood in with it. So it's kind of like, it's like showing him who's fucking boss.
Right.
You know, throw chairs at me, bitch. Yeah,
put that chair down, boy.
Which, I mean, in more ways, I'm sure, kind of realization that, like, okay, this is becoming more of something on its own. Mm-hmm. And probably not a good idea. But is it too late? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Also, I wrote, okay, the next scene, okay, moving on to the next scene, it was Noxus, not, now we were saying, last week we were saying Nexus. It was N-O-X-U-S, I think.
Words are hard.
Yeah, fuck, I don't know. So, okay, so Mrs. M is getting massaged by the cuisine man, still.
Which I saw something before, and they were talking about how the, what do you got? The little gigolo boy or whatever. That there was like when you know, when Caitlin and Vi went to the brothel.
Yeah.
In Zahn, that there was a character down there that looked just like him. I think it was the one who walked up to her and I don't know if it was him or not, but he was wearing a mask and he said his name was Pan or Pan.
Pim.
Pim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was saying that it looked a lot like him, but other people were just saying like they just didn't want to draw more characters.
Yeah, right. Right. So. Maybe it was. I don't know. Okay, so Mel approaches Mrs. M and tells her to leave Piltover. Mrs. M tells Mel about the family that killed the brother and that they're still after them, and they actually have more, they're kind of a bigger house than them. They have more money than them, resources. And Mrs. M tells Mel that's why they need the hex technology. Mrs. M reveals to Mel that the reason she kicked her out is because she weakens her, and she wants Mel to eventually come home.
Very mentally, can't think of the word, but kind of screwed up. I think Mel's mom is probably a terrible person, which, like I said in the beginning of the season, when we talked about how Mel was a terrible person, mm-hmm. basically where she got it, her mom is manipulative and mm-hmm. Basically only comes back for her when she needs something from her.
Yep.
And I do kind of understand the part where she says that, you know, she got rid of her because she weakens her. And I know she knows Mel wouldn't approve of probably some of the war issues that she got. So, but still, it's no reason to send your daughter off and never contact with her again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is really setting the stage, I think, for season two with the whoever this other family is that killed their brother.
Yeah.
She said that they're a more powerful family than they are, and they're still after them.
Yeah.
So she's trying. I mean, this all plays now. What she's telling Mel right here, I need you. It's because I care for you. You weaken me. She's just telling her all that shit to get the hex technology.
You can come back home.
You can come back home. Is this all just because she wants the hex core?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, that could be the only reason. We don't know. And it's the same shit she does and Mel does to Jace. You don't really know. I mean, you think, I mean, by the end of this, you're kind of, I mean, she does care for Jace in a way, I think. But it's still the same thing that her mom's doing to her. You don't, you think you know, but you're not really sure. It's manipulation. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Mel kind of seems to know that she wants her leaf Piltover. She kind of sniffs her out. She kind of knows what she's doing.
She knows.
Yeah, she knows. So, let's see. We're just plowing right through this shit. Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm excited to see where this kind of, where this DuckTales off from, as far as this other, who this other family from Noxus is. Mm-hmm. There's some really cool characters from the game that could be it. So.
More characters.
Yeah, more characters. I mean, there is, like, yeah, there's like this guy. What the fuck is that guy's name? He's like this four-legged dude. Urgot is his name. I think that's where he's from, Noxus. He'd be kind of neat. There's one person in the game that I in the game, like this had to be like 6 or 7 years ago now, but they released like these three ninjas. All at the same, like really close to each other. There's like one, it's like a girl ninja. There's one in particular named Kennen, which I'm not sure if it's a girl or boy because they have a mask on. I think it's a girl, but it could be, I don't know. But they're the size of Heimendinger. They're real small, mm-hmm. but they're a ninja. And they kind of control electricity. Like they throw like, they control, ninja stars. She throws ninja stars, but there's electricity. It's like when it hits somebody, like an electric jolt goes through them. I think those ninjas would be really neat in the show, but I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Who fucking knows? I don't know. But anyhow, okay, let's just move on. Mm-hmm. Victor continues to mourn the loss of Sky. He's sitting at the same place that Jace from, was that episode one? I think so.
Yeah.
Was thinking
one or
about,
two.
Was thinking about killing himself. Jace enters and actually stops Victor from jumping, which I don't even know if Victor was going to jump. He was just kind of looked like he was just the thought crossed his mind.
Right.
Victor wants Jace to destroy the hex core and makes Jace promise that he will destroy it. And at the end, he says, In the pursuit of great, we failed to do good.
Yeah. Jace kind of gives this little speech, or not speech, but like a. Talking about the good old days when they were just first inventing things and making things and how it was falling apart.
Sense.
Yeah. Because when you knew nothing and everything made sense.
Ignorance
yeah.
is bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's just kind of, you know.
And Jace does kind of say something too about, like, what about, you know, when he asked him to destroy the hex core about, you know, his health. Like, we're going to use it to save you. And Victor's basically like,
just get rid of it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, Victor now sees that, you know, killed Sky. I mean, that's why he about jumped off the ledge because he's, which again, I don't think he was going to. Do you think he was?
Well, I kind of thought maybe. I don't know. It was too quick of a moment, I think, to really judge. But, I mean, the guy's basically dying anyways. He killed somebody on accident who's close to him.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer of the last 24 hours.
Kind
huh?
of a low end.
Yeah, I would say so.
Kind of, I could see some suicidal thoughts there.
Right. That's no good. So, yeah, so Jace agrees he'll destroy it. And, yeah, that's that.
But he doesn't.
Yeah. All right, so Finn and Savika enter Silco's chambers. Finn tells Silco that he isn't a leader and he isn't the leader anymore that he used to be. Savika walks behind Silco and cuts Finn's head in half. And Finn or Silco ends up telling Rennie, who's also standing there, "I would have killed your son for this, but he's already dead." That was motherfucking cold shit right there. Killed your son, but he's already dead. Like, woo. But anyways, we were talking about, we were watching the show. It looked like Silco didn't even know what the hell was happening when this happened.
Right.
Like,
he looked very,
very surprised.
He was very heavy breathing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he did not know the sword was going to come swinging over his head.
Yeah. You know, I do think Finn has kind of a point, but then he's kind of stupid trying to get Savika to turn her fucking main.
Yeah.
Silco's right hand woman to turn on him. Like Savika says, like what Finn or Silco asks Savika, he's like, "Did you consider it?" And she goes like, "Well, not with that worm."
Right.
So like, okay, well, somebody a little bit better than him comes around. You know?
Yeah. So, I don't think I'd follow that guy either.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, you know, Finn had a point, but maybe he shouldn't have tried to talk to Savika. Maybe he should have tried to talk to all the other gang members about it and maybe killed Savika and Silco. Yeah.
But Finn has some balls because, like I said, this is what, like the third time he's trying to shock shit. And like the first time he almost did die. The second time he got basically talked down to with his tail between his legs.
Yep.
And he's like, "Well, we'll try again." So, ego.
Ego got his face whacked off. So, all right, now we're coming to the big scene. Silco meets Jace out on the bridge. Was that the bridge? Was that the, where the hell did they meet?
Well, at the end of that other scene, I don't know where he got the letter from. I don't know who brought him the letter.
It was just on his desk.
It was just on his desk. And we were like, whose is that? But it was a big T hammer.
Terrace or Talus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Silco meets with Jace. Jace mentions that there's bigger threats beyond the wall. Silco once mentions to Jace that they want free trade and sovereignty. Jace wants the shimmer production stopped and wants Jinx turned over to him and then he will give Silco the Nation of Zaan.
So that's the same thing where you're talking about when Mel's mom was talking about the other family, and he's talking about, he's already hinting at the, you know, yeah, we have other threats. So yeah.
Which we don't know what that is, but fucking whatever it is, it must, if Jace is worried about it and Mel's mom's worried about it.
Mm-hmm. They didn't really talk that much about it.
No, that was it.
Except for that.
I'm curious.
But it always seemed like they're all honky dory with all the other lands or countries because the Hex Gates. Yeah, in the trading. But then, and I also thought too, like, well, if Silco stops the shimmer, like, what else, what does the Nation of Zaan have to trade?
Well, okay. So this comes up with all the questions that you have to ask yourself about what, this is what Vander wanted from the very OG beginning of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what he wanted. Now, when I was reading on Reddit before this, I was reading about people's takes on this situation. Remember, and I asked you, no yawning during the podcast. Forbidden.
I think it's either going to be a yawn or a sneeze, I can tell.
what I was reading was about, because remember we talked about, was it better when, was things better when Vander was alive, or were things better when he's dead and Silco took over and everything? Mm-hmm. It seemed to be the consensus that most people think that it's better when Vander died, is what people write on Reddit. I don't. They seem to think that people aren't starving anymore, I guess. I don't know. But this is kind of where things could go. I mean, with this fucking shit, it depends. Because, like, what are they? Okay, so if he has to stop the trade of Shimmer, exactly right. You can have the free trade and your sovereignty, but what the fuck are you going to trade?
Right.
We're going to trade your good looks? Or you like you have like the pristine prostitutes down there? I mean, I don't know.
They're fish products.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. So So that is going to pose its own problems. I'm assuming people aren't going to want to come to there for vacation purposes. You know, there's not going to be a big tourist spot. You know, there's a lot of unanswered questions that they're going to come with this. So that I've actually asked myself, but I mean, fucking who knows, you know, and with, I mean, we can maybe talk about this more when we get to the end of the episode, but with Silco dying now, and there's going to be a complete power vacuum down there. There is a million ways they can tackle this. And I'm very curious on how they are going to tackle this, because they can do a route of Echo and Heimer taking over. Mm-hmm. That's one route. But then maybe they can kind of creep. This might give them the opportunity to kind of bring more people to their side, because now there's not so much. Because maybe now there's not so much Silco Shimmer may not be flooding the streets anymore. So maybe they're able to bring more people to the tree. Mm-hmm. But also, this is going to give some of these gang leaders perfect opportunities to fucking wreak havoc on the streets. Like,
right.
Because like one thing, Silco dying, yes, you're cutting off the head of the snake, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. What the fuck is the next guy going to look like who takes over? Silco was crazy, but he's not super fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. He probably had some order of control and not pure chaos down there. I mean, I guess people were all fucking drug ridden down there, but so, okay. Let's see, where do I begin? They could elect a new leader, which I don't know. They're not going to elect anybody. It's just going to be whoever the fucking gang leader takes over, right?
Whoever's most powerful probably is going to.
Finn's dead. Rhiney, the girl, is that Rennie or something? The one that with the kid, the gangster with her, the girl, the lady with her fucking kid died. I don't know.
Their nose tubes.
Hey, I don't know if any of these people are actually going to take over, but I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Can I say a name?
Sure.
I don't want to. Silvica?
Yeah, she was smoking that cigar at the end. She wasn't dead. We were talking about, like, did she die? And then, no, she was smoking a cigar at the end. Yeah, maybe she takes over. Do you think she's better leader than Silco?
I don't think she's a better leader than Silco necessarily, but I do think she has his same mission in mind. She has his same core values, like when they're talking about the loyalty. Mm-hmm. And she kind of knows what's going on. She's kind of like the vice president a little bit. So she's next in line to lead. I don't know. I don't think, like I said, before I think we talked about this board and I said Jinx, but Jinx has nothing uniform at all to lead people.
Okay. So now with Jinx blowing up the council members, are they going to send an army of enforcers down to Zaan to do fucking whatever? Are they going to get that free? I'm assuming they're not going to get the Nation of Zaan now. I mean, there's so many unanswered questions. We don't know. But in a time of a power vacuum with fucking leaders dying, man, things can go fucking sideways real fast, real easy. Like I said, Silco dying, he was a leader. He was a fucking drug warlord, but he did have a resemblance of control down there that things didn't spiral completely out of control off the fucking wire. Like, you know, he had the people on the leash with the Shimmer. He had all of his gang members under control. People weren't just starving in the streets quite yet. It didn't seem that way. So, I mean, look at the Last Drop. That place was happening.
But who knows? Because out of all those things you just said, we only know one thing for sure, and that is that Silco died. Nobody else.
Exactly.
Do we know? Right. Dead? Alive? They developed some superpower that we didn't know about at the last minute? You don't know.
Right.
The Hex Corps took over the whole building and saved them all.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Okay, so Heimer and Echo return to the tree. Heimer is impressed with the village. The Firelights do give Echo a hero's welcome with a big cheer. So, I mean, we kind of already talked about this last week, but just Heimer and Echo's, I mean, I'm excited to see where this goes. Heimer's kind of giving Echo shit about the glider. Why didn't you do it this way? Or why is it this? Why is it designed this way? It could be easier such and such way. But
so I mean, you can help him design something better.
I mean, that's exactly. It's just like, I mean, that kind of. I think it's just foreshadowing that we're gonna fucking upgrade this place with my knowledge.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm excited to see where it goes. I think Heimer and Echo are going to be the light in the darkness.
Yeah.
In the next season. Like, they're going to be the shining hope that we're going to be rooting for the whole time. Also, if I see one more fucking fan art picture of Echo and Jinx, I don't know what I'm going to do. What the fuck, man? Why?
He's going to turn her good.
Do you know what a toxic relationship is? That would be the core definition of a toxic relationship.
Everybody likes a toxic relationship.
Why would so many like in the last like 2 weeks of all the like these pictures of Echo and Jinx and hearts around him. What the fuck? Why would you forsake my man Echo to that fucking nightmare? Right? Okay, the guy is busy trying to save people. Jinx is not trying to save anything. herself. Imagine if these two, like, how old are they? 15, both of them? They're both the same age.
Didn't we say that? Well, okay, so I asked this before. Didn't we say that they were 17? Because I asked how old Jinx was.
Oh, man, that's 16 or 17 or something. Yeah. Probably. Well, how old were they in the 1 through 3? Both of them?
No one. I don't think we really know, but
they got to be like 8.
Yeah.
So it'd be 7 years. It'd be like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Both of them got to be 15 or 16. I mean, Echo, okay. Like, Echo is a clear example of when you take tragedy, because he's seen just the same shit that Jinx has seen.
Right.
And he is a clear example of what you do. You take those tragedies and you turn it into a way to motivate yourself to improve your life and others. He did that. Clearly he's done that.
And going to continue to do that.
So people want to mix in that fucking psycho bitch in this poor kid's life? No. No. Putting a stop to that right here, right now on the Hex Pod.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. Forget all right, it. Moving on.
Where are we?
Where the hell are we? All right, Silco's sitting behind the statue of Vander. He's giving a talk about what he wants to do with Jinx and the Nation of Zaan. And as he's talking, Jinx is standing behind the statue. I don't know if you just want to talk about that.
With her shimmered eyes.
Okay, so I was like kind of... while this scene was happening, we were talking about like, what is that fucking statue? And we realized it was Vander, which I kind of missed half of what they were talking about while we were trying to figure out what that statue was. But the way I understand it is, when I was reading about this, that was Silco saying that he was basically giving up the idea that he wouldn't give Jinx up for the Nation of Zaan.
Yeah, but I don't know why she took it the wrong way.
That's what. Because I think we should have gone back and watched that again. Because I don't know either. I know she only heard part of it, but it was actually pretty profound of what he was saying right there, because I was reading about somebody's take on this, like this one little him talking to himself about basically this with to what this basically this is exactly what happened to Vander. Vander got a family. He didn't want to fight anymore because he had something bigger to live for, right, other than just fighting. And this is kind of what Silco is coming to the realization, the same thing that, right, like Jinx is my daughter. It's something more, it's more important to me than having this Nation of Zaan and all this other crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's coming to the realization of, that Vander was right the whole time. So, and Jinx apparently only heard something. What Jinx wanted to hear. So we move on to the last drop.
Here we go.
We get the Western music.
Western showdown at the old town corral.
The old last drop. I mean, the Vi enters, they fight, they kick each other's ass.
I thought it was very Kill Bill-esque.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, this is great. This showdown, the music, it fucking works on every level. The guy finally get the record playing of, that was what, at the beginning of every episode, right? That's what he did? That's the record?
That's a record player, yeah.
They use?
But the different, obviously a different song came on. I don't remember the name of the song. I just listened to like the whole soundtrack the other day. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the song. There's only like one skip for me. And that, I think that was the one I skipped.
What, the Western one?
It was like Western techno. Mm. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So Savika ends up stabbing one of Vi's gloves and breaks it. Then Vi gets a vision of Vander. Vi ends up ripping Savika's arm off. Then Jinx knocks out Vi. So I don't know, what do we have to say about the fight?
It was pretty good. It wasn't like the best fight of the season, but
I actually liked their first fight better.
Mm-hmm.
The one with, and which I'm surprised because it was basically the same fight, but the only difference is Vi had her gloves here, and it seemed like Vi beat her up better without the gloves in the first fight.
Yeah.
And remember, Vi, like, Savika kept getting more juiced up as the fight went on, and Vi still just kept beating her up. I mean, she ended up getting stabbed in the gut by her, but, I mean, I don't know, whatever. It's still cool. Yeah. It's still badass action, so yeah. Whatever.
Like I said, a little cameo from Vander. Pick her back up.
Yeah. You got the little motivational, like, fucking Mickey from Rocky. Just one more fight! Get up, Rocky!
And then, yep, Jinx pops her one in the head and says, "Bravo, sister."
Is that what she said?
I think so. I don't know. I know it was Bravo something, but.
Yeah. So we move over to a council meeting. Jace is telling the council about the peace he made with Zahn, that they want to become the nation of Zahn. And then he made peace with Silco. And the council becomes very upset with them. So this is the first time they're hearing about the peace with Silco. I don't really know what there's much to talk. I don't know what else, much there is to say about this, because that's what basically this is what happens. Him and Victor kind of tell him this is what we need to do. And well, Jace seems like he's like, I don't even care what you guys think about me anymore.
Right. He almost made it. I thought for a minute he sounded like he was stepping down, but I guess if he steps down, he can't really make this happen then if he does that. But I don't really understand. I guess the only reason why they'd be upset about it is it would interfere with their trading, basically.
Yeah. These other than Caitlin's mom. But we don't really know much about Caitlin's mom other than that she's been kind of supportive of Caitlin and Jace. She's been kind of supportive of Jace's like actions. But other than that, these other council members, I mean, these people are shits.
Yeah.
This is, bless you. I mean, the problems, I mean, we see these same problems in our government. Like these are just decades and decades and decades of problems. I mean, look how fast they turn on Jace. Like one minute they're like, fuck the Hex Corps. When they find out that the Hex Corps can benefit them, like bring on the Hex Corps for money. They're so disconnected from, none of these people care about their citizens. None of the decisions they make are about the citizens. It's always about money.
Right.
Where do we hear that from?
Everywhere.
Our fucking own goddamn government and economy and everything's just about GPD. It sucks. So, and that's what these people are like. They're just, there's nothing about these people talking about the citizens of Piltover. The citizens of, I mean, even Jace doesn't even care about the citizens. On, well, he does now since he knows Victor. You know, Victor's kind of bringing him up to speed and par, like these are real people too, but.
And since he's killing him.
Yeah, right. I don't know. But the council is pretty upset about this. But all right, let's move on to the big climax. Let's see, how do we want to break this down? There's so much shit that happens in this scene. We move on to the final scene of Vi. She's tied up with Jinx walking around. Jinx is blaming Vi for basically her childhood problems and how she became powdered Jinx. Vi is trying to explain to Jinx about being in prison and that she's all that she thought about. Jinx pushes Vi to the dinner table, and we find out that Silco is also tied up there. Jinx reveals, as she reveals, a hidden cupcake within the dinner dish. And now she also reveals that Caitlyn is tied up. How far do you want me to go?
That's good. In the beginning, she's talking about basically that Vi is blaming Silco for making her Jinx, but she's telling her, like, no, you've made me Jinx.
Yeah.
And then she starts to ask. She's got at the dinner table, she's got a chair that says Jinx, and a dinner and a chair that says powder. Basically, is trying to tell her, who do you want me to be?
Yep.
So,
yeah, it's you know, the decisions, you know, these problems root back to all when they were little kids, and that's what Powder's trying to or Jinx is trying to explain to her. You know, is Vi hearing her? That's the question. Right. Is she hearing her, or she's just?
But even if she does hear, I mean, I doubt Jinx could really be that far gone and just go back to Powder.
It's never.
And I'm pretty sure
that ship is
Caitlyn. I mean, not Caitlyn. I'm pretty sure Vi already knows. Well, I'm pretty sure everybody in the room already knows that. Besides Jinx.
Yeah, it's
too far gone.
I think Vi's in a little bit of denial, maybe, but I don't know.
It was pretty funny though when she says that she visited. She said, "I visited your girlfriend," and she puts down the platter.
Yeah.
And we thought there's gonna be some body parts or something in there, but it's a little cupcake.
She's like, "Oh no!" She's like, "Sheesh." I'm not that crazy.
We don't know. That, we don't know.
That, I mean, that line was kind of funny. There's a fucking cupcake right there. All right.
And little Milo and Clogger
yeah, dolls little are dolls. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. So Jinx pulls out the gun and wants Vi to shoot Caitlyn. Vi refuses and tells Jinx that she wants her to leave. They want them to leave together. Jinx is worried Vi is lying. Silco tells Jinx that she is his daughter. Caitlyn ends up picking up Jinx's gun, Gatling gun, as Jinx. Jesus Christ! I'm trying to fucking. There's a lot of shit that happens here. Okay. So Caitlyn picks up Jinx's Gatling gun. Jinx ends up knocking the gun out of Caitlyn's hand. Silco picks up the handgun, and Jinx ends up shooting Silco. And Silco tells Jinx, "I never would have given them to you."
I was a little confused, because she was Jinx was having a little meltdown.
Yes,
mental meltdown. And so she's hearing and seeing things, and then so I didn't know. Did she see Silco pick up a gun and try to shoot her or try to shoot Vi?
He tries to shoot Vi.
In real life?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'll say then he shot, then he dropped a gun. But I didn't know if, like I said, since she was having a little meltdown and hearing things, if she imagined that or if it really happened.
Yeah, I think Jinx had to make a decision between Vi and Silco, and she chose Vi. I think, right?
Yeah.
And
I think it's the wrong decision, but...
What?
For Jinx, I thought it was a wrong decision. Because
what was she supposed to do? Maybe she was supposed to kill her sister?
No. Well, not her kill her sister, but...
Let Silco kill her?
Maybe.
What the fuck?
No, I'm just saying... I'm not saying for our perspective. I'm saying for Jinx because... I don't know. In that moment, I kind of... I didn't feel say I felt all sorry right,
let's,
for...
Okay, let's play that out.
Okay.
Let's play that out.
Let me spin it. Because when Silco is dying and he tells her, "I would never given you up," and he says, "Don't cry. You're perfect."
Yeah.
So he really did love her. And I didn't have to say that Vi doesn't love her, but I don't think Vi loves Jinx. Like, that's who she is. Basically, she's saying it's kind of like a coming of age story.
Right.
Jinx is finally realizing who she is, and Vi will never accept that. Vi will always try to make her be Powder again.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think you're right. I would agree with you on that.
Like I said, not as a fan perspective would I have picked Vi over Silco.
But let's play that.
That was Jinx's.
But let's play that out.
Okay.
Silco shoots Vi right in the fucking face, and her face splatters all over Jinx. what happens.
But then again, the same thing. Jinx is so unstable. She could have decided to be powder after that. Like, hate.
And morphs her back into powder. Yeah. Some weird fucking.
Like, she hates. She probably would hate Silco for, you know, rest of her life. So.
Then what? Okay. Vi has no face. Jinx morphs back into powder. What's Caitlyn do?
They become friends. I don't know.
Starts calling Silco daddy.
Maybe, and they fight Silco together.
Powder and Caitlyn.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I didn't think that far ahead.
That's some fun fan fiction right there. All right. So, Silco is dead. Jinx picks up her Gatling gun and she puts a hex gem in it. Jinx fires a rocket at the council. As this happens, the council agrees to have a peace treaty. Agrees to the peace treaty with the nation of Zaun. The rocket hits the council chambers. End of episode.
Well, they show a lot of scenes here at the end, which I think, like I said, this is where I says I think is like the question marks for, and it probably is kind of like leaving all the stories open for the next one. Because like I said, it shows Heimerdinger and Echo.
Yep.
And they're in his little workshop. They're working on stuff. They show like a broken clock.
Yep.
That they're working on. Mm-hmm. In this, they show Mel and she's taking off her family ring and then voting yes for the peace.
Yep.
So she's, you know, I think that's symbolizing that she's saying, no, I'm not going to be like my family.
Mm-hmm.
The council members are voting yes. This is where I kind of got the idea because Silvika is in Silco's office smoking a cigarette. Smoking a cigar, looking at the Silco's empty chair.
Yep.
Vi is carrying Caitlyn out. There's a big, huge, giant red moon. I don't know if that means anything.
There's some cool imagery when this whole fucking thing is happening. Some really neat stuff.
And I don't know. I just read this and I don't want to.
Just say it.
Okay. But then they show like the bomb going towards the council room and Mel's there.
Yep.
It's going towards Mel's back. And somebody had noticed that when it was coming towards her back started to glow gold. I don't know if that means anything or not, or for a reflection.
Yeah. I saw it glowing, but I wasn't sure what the fuck that was, but.
Cause she's always got that gold on her skin.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We're going to start with the chambers blowing up. This kind of gets into predictions for season two. It fucking happens. So you kind of have to talk about it. Who's going to die? Who's not going to die? How are they going to play this out? There's a couple of different ways they can play this out. One would be the most cheapest, dumbest way. It would be that's a kind of like a bomb explosion protected room. And everyone lives. And it's somehow protected by some
Did break through the window.
I don't know. That would be, if nobody dies, that's going to be disappointing. Is Jace going to die? I don't know. I doubt it. Is Mel going to die? Maybe. Maybe that's going to throw him into the kind of the war. You know, her dying right in front of his face might get him off the rails to become kind of more gung-ho and Warren with Zaun or whoever. I think Caitlyn's mom is going to die for sure.
Yes.
And that's going to put the ringer on Caitlyn and on her fucking, who knows what the motivation.
Her trauma story.
Right. However that unfolds, who knows? But I think her mom's going to die for sure. Everybody else, who knows?
Who really cares?
Fuck all those people. They can die. Who cares? So, those people are causing, those
Victor's also in the room though, too.
Victor's also in the room, but I don't think there's so much. I think there's way more story with this guy. He's kind of like the whole Heimerdinger thing. Half the story has been told with him. But there's a lot more. I can't imagine he's going to die right here. I mean, fuck, maybe he does, but I don't think so. Do you?
No.
And
I don't think it's a good ending for him.
No, it's like what the, he killed Sky, kind of got this hex core thing working, and he just dies. Like, it'd be kind of weird. But
I think we should spin off to like a series, or not a series, like a conversation of like the worst possible endings they could do.
the bomb or the rocket bounces off the window and kills the fish butcherman.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, what if the bomb fails? Like, you know, when powder used to make all the bombs,
that would
fails.
Be hilarious.
It just like fizzles out. Falls on the floor.
That would be good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what do you think about Jinx's gun, that little shark gun?
So that's new, right? We haven't seen that. At least I don't remember seeing that.
No, that was her. Yeah, that was her Gatling. That was her putting the hex gem in the Gatling gun.
Yeah.
That's what it turned into. But that's, like I told you during the show, that's exactly what happens in the game. Her main weapon's that Gatling gun, and her big ultimate, her big move you can do once every 2 minutes is turn into that fucking giant rocket thing. So,
Rocket launcher.
Yeah. So they stuck with it, like, same as the game. But, you know, with the council agreeing to do the peace treaty, but fucking Jinx, once again, when things are about to happen, things are about to be resolved, she blows people up.
She turns it upside down.
She jinxes the whole situation.
Yep.
She's doing it again. And so, I mean, who knows if this... I'm assuming that the peace treaty with Zahn's not going to happen. Right? Something from Zahn.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to change their mind. Whoever... Yeah. That's why I said, and I think I told you the other day, like, what if they do, like, a flash forward? Because they do, like, flash around and do, like, 3 months later, and they're, like, at full-blown war.
I hope they don't do something like that. I hope it picks up almost directly off of... I mean, this is the good thing with doing animation. These people don't fucking age.
Yeah.
They just age however you can do. I mean, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. But even like Jace said, like, I don't even think it would last 3 months. Because like Jace said when he was talking with Silco, that Piltover would overtake you guys.
Just wipe you guys out.
Wipe you out. Yeah. So...
Yeah. That's yeah, funny. I mean, look at Jason Vi, just two people kicked the shit out of all the Shimmer monsters.
Right. Like,
no problem at all.
Yeah.
You know, give it to, you know, give 10
to
or 15.
Enforcers, yeah.
Yeah, 10 or 15 of these guys have them, and they could wipe out the whole, all lanes with that, so.
I did think it was funny. I read somewhere, or I saw somewhere, somebody made a comment at that the ending of this was spoiled 8 years prior. Because in the Get Jinxed video, she basically does that at the end of the video. She has the big rocket launcher.
Really?
She launches it across. So it was a spoiled alert like 8 years before the show was made.
I mean, I still haven't seen that, but yeah. So, all right. We're all wrapped up. Season one to the end. What's your final thoughts on the whole kit and caboodle?
I'm ready for more.
I'm ready for me too. Fucking walk down to France in that studio. Like, look, bitches.
I need to know.
I need to know what happens. What'd you think? Season one?
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think in this episode, for some reason, I did like Jinx a little bit more. I'm sorry. But I did.
Should be. You'd be apologizing. Quite a while.
I have to apologize
for
myself all the time.
Yeah, whatever. You don't.
Like I said, I guess it does, it's pretty good. It leaves you wanting more. So there's, like I said, a lot of questions not answered that I need answered. So, but like I said, I mean, always, like I said, we say it every time, but like the animation was amazing.
Yep.
Character development was amazing. I loved all the little tidbits, like little scenes, little symbolisms all around.
The foreshadowing.
Yeah. And it just helps tell the story. Like, you don't, you can't almost, sometimes you can't even explain it into words.
Yep.
But you, as soon as you see it, you know it. And it just helps connect dot da, 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 and it just helps put it all together in such a short little time, you know.
Yeah, these fucking episodes are only like 35-40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But it tells so much more
than most things do. Yeah, no, I agree. It's a you know, the season finale is the old, you want your questions answered, but you want to come back wanting more, and that's always a sign of a good TV show. I've said this before, but like the first four, five, six seasons of Game of Thrones, they basically kind of wrap up all the, they wrap up a lot of the ends, but there's always, you're always, they always leave you with a taste at the end where you're like, fuck, I want to know what happens next. And that's always, that's what you always want every single time with a TV show. And it, like a lot of times with like, I'm going to say like Walking Dead, they kind of fuck up the endings a lot of times, but I don't know. There's a lot of shows that kind of miss the mark, mm-hmm. and it is tough to get it, but this nailed it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple frustrating things. Like my main one is Hymer. I just always felt like he's an important character, but he never explained himself very well. He just kind of like said what he wanted with like zero explanation. And most people in the show give good reasoning of why they want to do things, but I never felt like I knew what Hymer's reasoning was other than at face value of what right. it was. You know, we've said it before, the animation of the show, you've said it's fucking phenomenal, which is great. I'm very glad this is not a live action because they can literally just put it, you can hop right back to wherever they need to be. They're always aging. No one's whatever they want, which is great. You know, Christian Alex, the writers, knocked out of the park. Is this lightning in a bottle where they just happen to, who knows? We'll see in season two. I mean, they could fuck it all up. It could be, you know, when I'm cautiously optimistic, it's season two is going to be good. I mean, we can talk about this more in the wrap up podcast, but man, this is season two it's going to be tough to match this.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. I mean, unless they already have an idea of a roadmap of how they want to go. I mean, maybe they have a giant roadmap of how they want to plan out. Like, I don't know if there's going to be like maybe five or six seasons or something. I mean, who knows? But we'll see where this goes in season two. But yeah, this is a good way to close the season out.
I did want to say, I forgot to mention it when we're talking about like they did the final scene where they were doing all the clips. They did show a picture of Singed.
Yeah.
And he was like looking at like a picture, a locket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
probably
more,
his daughter.
Was okay.
Probably.
Because I want to know. I kind of want to know a little bit more about Singe. I don't know if they'll ever do that, or if I'll have to do that on my own. But
hopefully they do. I apparently, like I was reading a little bit before we started this, that there was more. Like this is more in depth of what Singe is than what you get in the game. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's not a lot of lore about him or something. I don't know. Like again, I have no idea. I've never read anything about it. So, but yeah. It's good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, like I've said this before, I'm fucking so glad the stuff they talk about in the show and the themes and the narratives they hit is social economical issues, class issues. And they don't touch on a lot of the other stuff people want to touch on. It makes this show resonate with everybody, you know, fucking somebody from Argentina in the ghetto knows, you know, it faces money problems the same way other people in other countries face money problems. When you start dealing with like racial issues, that differs from country to country, you know, like whatever, like the same way racial issues are viewed in America are not the same way they were viewed in Europe, like people amongst different cultures and stuff. So I'm glad they left all that shit out. Like there's other shows that talk about that stuff, and I'm glad this show has not decided not to do it. And they decided to deal with like money issues, because that's universal. Everybody has money problems. So it's good. I give the show a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
What do you give it?
5 stars.
5 stars. 2 thumbs up. Lady boners up. All right. So once again, we're going to get us in those emails at arcanepod@gmail.com. We want to hear season 2 reviews. I don't want to dive into Reddit, but I'll do it. Don't force my hand. I'll do it. I'll make Michelle do it. That's what I'll do. Like you read this shit.
Right.
So, all right. Until next week, we'll put out, there'll be one more pod and that'll be a wrap. So again, I'm Nick.
Hi, Michelle.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.